Can you hear me okay? I'm a bit shorter than the microphone. Okay, we're going to start in the very last verses of chapter 9, and the title is The Agreement of the People. In view of all this, we are making a binding agreement, putting it in writing, and our leaders, our Levites, and our priests are affixing their seals to it. And then we go on into chapter 10. Those who sealed it were, and here in come the names of the Levites and the leaders of the people. At 28, the rest of the people, priests, Levites, gatekeepers, musicians, temple servants, and all who separated themselves from the neighbouring peoples for the sake of the law of God, together with their wives and all their sons and daughters who are able to understand, all these now join their fellow Israelites, the nobles, and bind themselves with a curse and an oath to follow the law of God given through Moses, the servant of God, and to obey carefully all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord our Lord. We promise not to give our daughters in marriage to the peoples around us, or take their daughters for our sons. When the neighbouring peoples bring merchandise or grain to sell on the Sabbath, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath or on any holy day. Every seventh year, we will forego work in the land and will cancel all debts. We assume the responsibility for carrying out the commands to give a third of a shekel each year for the service of the house of our God, for the bread set out on the table, for the regular grain offerings and burnt offerings, for the offerings on the Sabbath, at the new moon feast, and at the appointed festivals, for the holy offerings, for sin offerings to make atonement for Israel, and for all the duties of the house of our God. We, the priests, the Levites, and the people have cast lots to determine when each of our families is to bring to the house of our God at set times each year a contribution of wood to burn on the altar of the Lord our God, as it is written in the law. We also assume responsibility for bringing to the house of the Lord each year the first fruits of our crops and of every fruit tree. As it is also written in the law, we will bring the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, of our herds and of our flocks to the house of our God, to the priests ministering there. Moreover, we will bring to the storerooms of the house of our God, to the priests, the first of our ground meal, of our grain offerings, of the fruit of all our trees, and of our new wine and olive oil. And we will bring a tithe of our crops to the Levites, for it is the Levites who collect the tithes in all the towns where we work. A priest descended from Aaron is to accompany the Levites when they receive the tithes, and the Levites are to bring a tenth of the tithes up to the house of our God, to the storerooms of the treasury. The people of Israel, including the Levites, are to bring their contributions of grain, new wine, and olive oil to the storerooms, where the articles for the sanctuary and for the ministering priests, the gatekeepers, and the musicians are also kept. We will not neglect the house of our God.
We will not neglect the house of our God. And that's what I want to talk to us about this evening. And if you were here this morning, we looked at Acts chapter 5 and talked about that whole story in Acts chapter 5 where people deceived the Spirit of God by not giving to God what was rightly God's. And as we saw this morning, death came upon them. A serious message, a message that we should not take lightly. Are we recording this evening? Is it switched on, the button to record tonight? Is it on? Great. So I want to encourage us, if you weren't here this morning, to listen to this morning. I want to encourage people tonight as well. I'll be writing to people this week to encourage people that aren't here to listen to this message as well, because God is clearly speaking to us today, if but we would only listen. And God is good like that, because God puts scriptures in life of churches when God wants to speak to his people. And I believe he's done that today. So we have to sort of recap a little bit. Just want to put it in context, because I understand Nehemiah could be a little bit, all these names and all these words, and it's really quite hard to make it exciting sometimes, even for me. Imagine you, I have to try and make it exciting. And I sat there this week and I thought, Lord, where did I take this? What do we talk about? But I think there's a couple of things I want to address with us this evening. First of all, we need to go back to chapter 9. Remember last week? Remember those of us who are here, that's that whole, the longest prayer in the Bible. And the people were just praying before God. And then today we start at verse 39, when they said they'll make a new covenant between God. And if we look at the word covenant, we can use the word binding agreement. We could use the word written agreement, promises between two parties or more. There's lots of different explanations of a covenant. But what we have to also understand, and I was saying this to Jonathan before the service, I'd love to take you from Nehemiah to 10 to Luke chapter 3. Nehemiah 10, Luke chapter 3, Nehemiah 10, Luke chapter 3, because we can see here in Nehemiah chapter 10, they're talking about the covenant that God's people made with God to look after the temple. And then we see when Jesus comes, he brings the new law, and Jesus brings this new understanding. So we look at this context of the scripture tonight, and we can see some really important facts that the people in the Old Testament did to not neglect the house of God. And I want to try and take some of those principles and put them into the context of today. And there'll be some of you here, biblical scholars, and if there are some of you, you may be saying, well, actually, you know, we live in a new law, we live in a new day, and Jesus gives us a new understanding. Well, he does, absolutely. But there's lots of principles here that if we apply to the church today, they would actually have a benefit. And as I was saying, if we go to the Gospels, which we haven't got time to do this evening, but if we go through the New Testament, as I've said before, we see a lot of the context of the Old Testament teachings in the New Testament understanding. And if we had more time, I'd love to take you through that, because it just really grounds it down. It makes it sound a bit more sensible than sometimes it sounds when it's so disjointed. So I wanted to go through tonight looking at this passage. There's a couple of things. You should have your pieces of paper with you. If you do, there's a couple of points there that we're going to refer to. But first of all is this: the leaders sealed a covenant between God. From verse 1 to verse 27, we see a whole list of names. And that's why Val didn't read them out, but we saw a whole list of different names. And some of them are quite easy to pronounce, and some of them are quite hard to pronounce. But there's a whole list of names of people who were the leaders who made a covenant between with Nehemiah and with the people of God. And so they make a covenant. And what they were doing was they were saying, look, we are going to be different. One scholar says it may be that they are signing a document. Like in our day and age, it might be that they're signing a contract. They're making an agreement together that they're going to be people, and they're going to be different people. They commit to each other as well as to God. And I think there's something there that we could learn from, that, you know, I don't know how you feel. Do you feel that you've made a covenant with God? You know, we have this thing in our church called Baptist membership, and we're all together in membership. Well, some are and some aren't, and some don't understand it and some do. And that's for another day. But there's that whole sense that we're God's people in this place at this time. And they formed a covenant between God and themselves to make sure that they wouldn't neglect the house of God. And we have that same responsibility today, to make a covenant with God and with each other to make sure that we also don't neglect the house of God. Now, the house of God looks very different than it did back then. So they made a covenant. They were the leaders in verse 1 to 27 that made a covenant. Thank you. Yeah, if you could do that, because I get carried away. You do it, yeah? When he gave it to me, I thought, no, I don't want it. You keep it. Follow. And then that means you stay awake. That's great. So if that stops, you know that Mr. Underwood's had a little sleep on the back row there. And so what it is, the first verse 1 to 27, the leaders made an agreement. And then in chapter 10, verse 28 and 29, the others joined the covenant as well. So the leaders made a covenant, agreement with God, and then the other people in verse 29 and 28, they made a covenant as well. It says here, the rest of the people made a covenant. Some say they didn't actually sign a document like the leaders did, but they still committed themselves to the terms of agreement, the covenant that they were making with God. So all these people committed themselves to do what? To have a covenant, but what does that mean? In the context of here, they were all committed themselves to separate from the people of the land and to God's law. So they were making an agreement, a covenant, to be people of God. To be people of God. And if we were to go back to chapter 9, verse 2, we'd see that. But they were saying, actually, we will commit to separate from the people of the land and to do God's law, to do the things that God wants us to do. And if you put it in a New Testament context, in a New Testament context with Jesus, that's also our responsibility today, isn't it? It says in the New Testament that we should be of the world, but not in, you know, we should be in the world, but not of the world. We should make an agreement with God to be God's people today and to live the way he wants us to live. God doesn't call us to live the same way as those people outside of the church live. He calls us to live a different way, doesn't he? He calls us to live a different way. So even though we see an Old Testament covenant between God and his people, there's a New Testament understanding for us today that we should also be people that separate ourselves from the things of the land, and we should focus our attention on the things of God. Now here, it included their wives, their sons, their daughters. It included everybody together to make a covenant before God. And here, I just said it, but it says here the New Testament has that same covenant relationship that we are called to have with Jesus. And so if we look at Old Testament covenant, we look at New Testament law, we are called by God to have a relationship with him where we say, when I became a Christian, to say, I'm no longer my own, but I'm God's. I now live in this world, but I'm not of this world. And one of the most glorious things that I had the privilege of doing is, I know it sounds very odd, but it is a real honor for me to see people pass from this world to the next. Because you see peace, and you see, so often I've seen people just open their eyes and just see Jesus. I was in ministry for about 2 weeks. I was a youth worker, and a 78-year-old man was sick in the hospice. And so the senior pastor said to the staff team, we need to all be on call to go and see him. And I put my hand up and I said, I'm in charge of the young people. I said, he's old enough to be my granddad. He said, Scott, be quiet. He said, you're on call with me tonight. So if we get a phone call, you need to come with me. So anyway, you know what happened that night, don't you? 3 o'clock in the morning, we didn't have children then, but I was still like having a nice sleep. And the phone went, and he phoned me up. He said, we're off. I said, where are we off? He said, we're off. I said, where? He said, all right. So he picked me up, and off we went. And then when I sat there, his name was Jeff Taylor. Still remember him, big guy, big rugby guy. And I just saw, in early stages in my ministry, 2 weeks into ministry when I was a student in Luton, I saw this man just go from one world to the next. And I saw this man just wake up with such delight on his face and open his arms and smile, and then he simply just fell asleep. You see, he knew then that he was going to his world, to the promise that God had given to him. And that is our promise, isn't it? We are called to live in this world, live of it, but we're called to be God's people here, but our promise is to come, isn't it? And so I do ask ourselves the question sometimes, why do we focus so much attention on the here and now? Let's focus on getting people in the kingdom for the future. And I remember seeing that man, and there I understood what it meant to go into the presence of God. And just a few weeks before that, when he spoke to me, he said, you know, I made a covenant with my Lord when I was 8 years of age. And that night, his covenant with his Lord took him to glory. He said, we are called today to make an agreement with God as they did too. You see, for us, we have a better understanding because we're New Testament people. And we understand Jesus, and we understand the cross, and we understand that Jesus died for us, and we understand the picture so much better. And I want to encourage us tonight, to all of us, to make sure that we have that covenant with God, that agreement with God, to live for God, and to make sure that we do all that God wants us to do. You see, they committed themselves to doing the things that God wanted them to do. They built the wall and they did all. They had the prayer of confession last week, and now they're committing themselves to do the things that God wanted them to do. But then it wasn't just about their commitment to God, but there was also this one responsibility that they made a commitment to obey God, but they had specific things that they had to do for God. And so I want to just spend a few moments looking at those, some of the specifics of the covenant. And you'll see that when we had our reading read to us this evening, we finished with those words, didn't we? We will not neglect the house of God. So they made that covenant between God and themselves, and then they had responsibilities to help God do, well, help God, but in that sense of just making sure that the temple was a place where God was worshipped and they could worship God also. So in verse 30 and 31 in chapter 10, there's some specifics of the covenant. Having committed themselves to obey God, God's law in general, the people then had specific requirements of the law to do and keep. Now this is when it, you know, this is when I read that, and I'm grateful that we're New Testament believers, because it's a little bit more freer, actually, but probably a little bit harder because there's not so many instructions. You see, here we'll get onto it in a moment. Give 10% of your tithe to the Lord in the Old Testament. In now's day and age, just be generous with all that you have. So that gives people a way to get out, really, in my opinion. But actually, you know, I actually sometimes wonder if it would be more helpful for my character to be an Old Testament person, because it would be so much easier, black and white. This is how it is. And New Testament gives us a lot more freedom in many, many ways. But for me personally, I find it a bit harder because it's not so much in black and white. But they had to make some changes, and they had to started to do things differently. So what did they do? Let's have a look at a couple of these things together. They committed themselves to the people of the land. They committed themselves to the new law. They committed themselves to being people that would no longer be in sin. They committed themselves to be people that would make the right priorities before God. And we won't go through them all in detail, but the people also agreed that they would not do business on the Sabbath day. You see that? That they would make sure that the Sabbath day was a really important day. And then they would observe the seventh year Sabbath and release all that they have. It says there that forego the seventh year produce and give those things away. Required every 7 years that the land would not be planted, but would be allowed to rest. We see that in Exodus. So they started to do things that God wanted them. They started to observe holy days, including the Sabbath. They started to be focused in on the things that God wanted them to do. You see, when they had a covenant relationship with God, there were some regulations that they had to fulfill. And so it's really good if you've been here with us going through the whole of Nehemiah. Now we get into some of the core stuff here about how they should live and how they should behave. And then the people had to provide funds needed to do the work of the temple as well. In 32 and 33, they had to provide funds needed to work the temple, and included providing showbread. That was an item that they used for burnt offerings on the Sabbath day and the holy days. They would have to get that ready for the temple. And they'd have to start doing things and providing things for the temple for worship. And one thing I really loved about Peru, I know I talk about it a lot, but you can't take it out of me, I'm afraid. one thing I loved there was when we had times of worship, we weren't a wealthy church in terms of money, but we were so wealthy in terms of spirituality. And sometimes I was reading this again this afternoon thinking, you know, in Peru, sometimes when we would have worship services, people couldn't bring money, but they'd bring a bag of sugar. They have about 8 teaspoons of sugar in their tea, don't they, Marge? And I remember, like, there's more sugar in it than tea. But they would bring a bag of sugar to worship. They might bring a bag of rice to worship. They might just bring something that they've made, or they might bring a flower arrangement that they've picked out their garden. Not somebody else's, thankfully, but their own. And they'd bring it in worship. So they would bring not so much payment, but they'd bring stuff to the temple in worship. And I loved that. I really loved it, because the reason I loved it for many reasons was because it was just more thoughtful. They would think about what they could bring in adoration and worship to God. And they would bring offerings to God to the temple. And they've been guinea pig as well, but we won't talk about that. And they bring lots of things to God to bring to the temple. Because a lot of them didn't have financial stuff to give, but they knew that they had a responsibility to not neglect the temple. So some would come and say, I need to wash the floor every Sunday morning because I can't bring anything, but I can bring off my time. So one lady would come and she would wash the floor every Sunday morning and polish it. You'd never seen the cleanest floor in all. You'd like the cleanest floor in Cusco, but because it was for the Lord in preparation for worship. And then it rained, and in the second or two, it was just like slippery and everybody was falling over it. And I was reading a story just in India this week about a community in India, a real poor community of mums and girls who all live in prostitution and working with Tear Fund. And they started this thing called Bring Your Rice to the Temple. And what they've done is they worship together, but they started to bring rice to the temple because they had no money. And they would sell this rice then to people in the market to get money for the temple. Okay, and after a few years, those people got saved. So a lot of the ladies got saved and the girls got saved. They used to be in this community just outside Calcutta. Maybe some of us, if we go next year, we're going to see it. Is there was this community of believers, people who weren't believers, and 98% of the community were in prostitution. And for the last 5 years, they started this gathering when one or two became believers. They had nothing to give to God, so they brought a bag of rice to the temple. Then they sold the bag of rice in the market to get money for the temple, to buy communion wine and bread and stuff like that. And this church has just grown. Now, there's that in this community of about 150 people now, and in this community where these ladies worship, before there was about 98% of them in prostitution. Now, after 5 years, there's only 2% of them in prostitution. And there's lots of them worshipping God. And I just like that whole idea that they had very little to give, but they brought rice to the temple. And I know it's not something we would do maybe here, but it's that sense of, here in Nehemiah, in the book of Nehemiah, they brought things to the temple for the worship of God. So they didn't reject what we had to bring to the temple. Now, if we look at it in a modern day New Testament understanding, well, we can do that too, can't we? We can bring of our service to the temple. We can bring of our gifts to the temple. We can bring of all of that we have to the temple. For some of us, we do that financially. For some of us, we're able to do that. For some of us, we're not. Or we can bring of our gifts to the temple. We can come and do the things that need to be done in the temple. And so here we see that they've made a covenant, but also they were making sure that they were not going to neglect the temple. They were not going to neglect the place that God called them to worship. And in verse 34, there's another need for the temple, was to burn, was to have wood, the other need for the temple service was to burn wood on the altar for sacrifices, as we see in Leviticus 6:12. And so people would bring wood to the temple so that it could be burned. And then we see in verse 35 to 39, they would bring their first fruit and their firstborn and their tithes to the temple. The people also agreed to obey the laws of God regarding giving him the first fruit of the harvest and the firstborn of the people and the animals. Every year the people were required to give God the firstborn of the first fruits of the harvest from the ground and from the trees and for the vineyards. And they were giving them to the priest to support the work of the temple. And I won't sort of go on about that. We looked at that enough this morning if you were here. But that whole sense that we have a responsibility to not neglect the house of God. We have a responsibility not to neglect the house of God. We have a responsibility to make sure that the house of God is prepared and equipped to do the work that God wants to do in the house of God. And so there they brought, as it said there, they brought their harvest from the ground and from the trees and from the vineyard. They brought what they could. Now, put that into 2015 in Rainy Baptist Church. I don't suppose next week we're all going to be bringing bags of sugar and flowers from your garden or for somebody else's. I did that once before I was a Christian. I'll just confess that. I took my mum some flowers and I pulled them out of the garden next door. And I was only 12 at the time, and the next day I had to go around to the neighbour and apologise, and then I had to weed the neighbour's garden for about a year, so I never did it again. But don't worry, God then saved me, and I was okay after that, kind of. But so here we see the leaders made a seal of agreement, of a covenant. The other people joined in. They made commitments to obey God's house. Specifics of that, They did many things. They paid the payment for the service in the temple, for wood, for first fruit and tithes. So what we see here in Nehemiah chapter 10 is about how they made sure that they brought all that they could to make sure that they were able to worship God together. Then the people agreed to bring all these things to the temple to be placed there in the storerooms till they were needed. So they brought what they had for the present day, but they brought what they had for the coming day. You see, they brought what they needed for the present day, but they also brought stuff to put in the storehouses for the coming day. And I was reading the commentary this week, because we do try and read commentaries before we preach. You might not realize that sometimes, but we try to. And there's that whole sense that what they had in the storehouses was just enough. It wasn't too much, and it wasn't too little. And why was that? It's because they never had the opportunity to have too much in the storehouse, because they always needed stuff in the temple. And that's a challenge to me, and maybe a challenge to us all, you know, that we need to make sure that we bring what we need to bring to the temple. We need to also have a storehouse in the temple, but we need not to have too much, that it sits there and doesn't do the work of the kingdom of God also. So here we see that what they are about in this chapter is about making a covenant, an agreement, that they would not neglect the house of God. So as I was reading through this week, I thought to myself, I'm talking to myself here, but I thought to myself, do I ever neglect the house of God? The answer is sometimes I probably do. Should I? No. Do I make sure that I bring all that I should to the house of God, both financially, both physically, both spiritually? Do you have gifts within you that the house of God needs? Yes, you do. Are you using them? Maybe, maybe not. Do you have a gift that the Lord wants you to bring in terms of financial reward, gift of financial provision for the church? Yes, you do. We all do. But it's this whole sense that we have to bring those things to God. And then later on, we'll see in chapter 11, I don't know who's doing that. Oh, I am. I know, I'm following on next week. So we'll talk about that next week. I'll save myself a bit of work. But we go on to chapter 11, and we see again how they start to build again, putting these principles in place. But I just want to come in to sort of close here and say this. There's a lot of things that we can learn from this, I believe. At the end, it says there, what areas of life were affected by the covenant of God? What are the things that affected them? And what are the principles that we could learn today? What are the principles from the covenant that the Israelites made and that we could make today? There's lots of differences that we could do. But I want to finish by saying this. There might be some of us this evening that we don't actually have a strong covenant in the first place. Because here it's talking about they first had a covenant and it was a binding agreement, and then they went on to do the things that God wanted them to do. But to do the things that God wanted them to do, they had to have a real strong covenant relationship with God in the first place. And remember when we started this evening, we said, what does a covenant mean? And it means many things to many people, but it's about a binding agreement. It's about a promise of two parties. And in the first instance, God wants us to have a covenant relationship with him. He wants us to have a binding agreement with him. He wants us to say to him, Lord, we love you, and I want to do all that I can for you. And the consequences of that will be all different things for different people here tonight. There'll be some of us here that have a covenant with Jesus for a long, long time, for 20 and 30 years. But actually, my question to you will be, in that covenant relationship with God, have you made sure that the temple hasn't been neglected? And I'm not just talking financially, I'm talking about your involvement in the temple as well. Your gifts that you bring to the table, your words of encouragement that you say, your words of wisdom that you bring, your offering that you bring also. But there may be some of us this evening that our covenant with God is a bit of a loose one. Sometimes we're in and sometimes we're out. And sometimes we're not there at all. And what God desires before we serve him in the temple is he wants a strong living relationship with us, a covenant with us, an agreement with us that we will love him and he will love us forever and ever. And the question I want to say this evening is this: how is your covenant relationship with Jesus. We've spoken a lot about the covenant that the people had with God here and the responsibilities that they had with the temple. But if we were to go back, I simply want to ask you, how is your covenant relationship with Jesus tonight? How is it? Does it exist? Is it there? Is it started? Or is it something that you need to work on? Because you see, a covenant relationship with God, if you put it into New Testament theology, a living relationship with Jesus, a discipleship relationship with Jesus, each and every day, God wants us to have that relationship with him. And why? So that we can worship wherever we are. You see, here they had to have that really strong covenant relationship with God so they could go and worship in the temple. Where can we worship today? Where can we worship today? Anywhere. We can worship anywhere. I suggest you it's good to come together corporately, but we can worship anywhere. So if you then try and put this into modern day language, for us to be able to worship God anywhere, to give of God anywhere, to give of the gifts that we have from God anywhere, we need to make sure that we work on our relationship with God today. Because they had a strong covenant with God to provide for the temple so they could worship. We can worship anywhere. So the stronger our covenant relationship is with God, the easier it is to worship, isn't it? The closer we are with God, the closer that connection with, that agreement is with God, it's so much easier to worship God. And it's so much easier to give to God. And it's so much easier to use our talents for God. And it's so much easier to use the things that God has given us for the use of his kingdom when we have a closer, intimate relationship with God. A stronger covenant with him. A stronger agreement with him. A stronger, let's use the word, relationship with him. See, God wants all of us this evening to have such a strong relationship with God that we will be able to worship him anywhere. Not just in the temple, because we're New Testament believers. We can worship God anywhere. The highest mountains to the depths of the sea, our God is with us. So I want to ask us tonight, before we sing together, how is that relationship with God tonight in your heart? Because they worked on it, they provided it, and we're going to see in the future that they then were able to worship together in such a meaningful way because of their agreement with God. And if we want to worship in such a meaningful way with God, we need to work on our relationship with God, our relationship with God, so that we can worship him anywhere. And out of that worship of God, then actually we will never neglect the house of God because we're living such a vibrant relationship with God that it just happens. It just happens. Because when we're closer to God, we hear his word easier. And when we hear his word easier, we apply it better. When we're closer to God, we're more generous. When we're closer to God, we do more for him. When we're closer to God, he uses our gifts that we have in a more fruitful way. So Nehemiah has a lot to say to us about it. The people were encouraged under Nehemiah's leadership to make a relationship with God, a new covenant, to build his temple, so to prepare the things of the temple so they can worship him. Jesus wants to say to us tonight, he wants to build a stronger relationship with us so that we can worship him deeper. And by worshiping him deeper, then out of that debt that we have with Jesus, then comes our service to the temple. And I want to encourage us tonight to simply ask that question, Lord, what do I need to do tonight in my relationship with God so I can worship you better? What do I need to change? What do I need to do? Who do I need to speak to? Because I want to worship you more, not in the temple, but with my everything. Because when God's people worship with their everything, then the temple is never, ever under-resourced. It's never under-resourced. I remember preaching Nehemiah chapter 10, my second year in Cusco. And I just simply said to the people, work on your relationship with Jesus. Work on your relationship with Jesus so that you can worship him better. And out of that will spring all that we need for the Lord's work in this place. And that happened because they worked on their relationship with Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Nehemiah chapter 10, and we can see in Luke chapter 3, John the Baptist, and how all the new beginning came. And I'm conscious, Lord, that it's hard to understand at times, but Lord, we thank you that those people in Nehemiah chapter 10 were faithful. They were faithful to make an agreement with God, faithful to provide for the temple, faithful in their worship to God. And Lord, would you help all of us this evening, as New Testament believers, would you help us all to work on our relationship with Jesus tonight? To say sorry for the things we need to say sorry for. To stop doing the things that God doesn't want us to do. To ask you for forgiveness. To ask you to strengthen us. So that our worship to you can be more meaningful and ultimately more fruitful for your kingdom. Because, Lord, I know that when we do that, Lord, then your house will be resourced, both in financial giving, but also in our ability to give of ourselves in service to you. Lord, there are many of us in this room tonight that have got so much that the Lord wants to use. And, Lord, it starts by making sure that our relationship with you is strong and our worship is good and well. And then follow on from that. We're able to be used in your church. So Lord, I pray tonight that as we sing now and as we respond, that you would speak to us all individually into our hearts, the things that you'd have us learn tonight. And we would leave this place this evening making a new partnership agreement, a new binding agreement, a new written promise between ourselves and you. To say, Lord, we want to live for you. We want to worship you freely on the train tomorrow in our schools, in our universities, in our places of work and in our homes. And as we worship you in spirit and in truth, because we are free in Christ, because Jesus died and gave us a new beginning and a new hope, that out of our worship would spring all that we give back to you so that your temple, your kingdom will grow. So Lord, I'm conscious that even for me, that's really hard to do at times because I'm a selfish being and I don't think I'm alone. So Lord, give us that desire in our heart to keep working on our partnership and the relationship with Jesus. Give us our desire in our heart to worship him with all that we have. And give us that desire in our heart to bring our offerings in service to you, so that your kingdom will be built, and also so that your kingdom will come, both here in this place and in the nations. And Lord, conscious that that can only be done if we freely allow you to live within us. So Father, I pray tonight that you would give us the strength and the faith that we need to build our relationship with you. The most important relationship that we'll ever have is with the living God. The most intimate place we'll ever be is worshiping the living God. And the most fulfilling thing we'll ever do is serving the living God. Lord, teach us that in our hearts, I pray. Help us to be a people that seek after you. Help us to be a people that want to worship you in our everyday. And help us to be a people that want to serve you in your church. And then, Lord, you will also help us and we will see the fruit of your labor, the fruit of our labor, and your kingdom growth. And Lord, that's our desire. Lord, we don't want to neglect your house. We don't want to neglect the things of God. And forgive us when we do that. But tonight, help us to say sorry. And help us tonight to start again, if we have to, and if we need to, on our relationship with Jesus. Please, Father, come and live within us. Live within our minds. Live within our hearts. Help us to love you more. Help us to follow you more. Help us to give of ourselves more. And help us to long for that deeper relationship, that deeper covenant with the living God.